On this episode of the Ask Worship Sound Guy podcast, we're talking with co-creator of Worship Sound Guy, Matt Borsick, about reopening churches, video production for sound guys, and creating engaging worship online. Jump into the podcast, I just want to take a quick second to say thank you so much for all the ratings and reviews and shares that you guys have done. If you're enjoying this podcast, we would really appreciate a review on Apple Podcasts. And you guys know that I read each and every one of the reviews that you leave, including this one from someone whose username is unpronounceable because it's just a bunch of consonants. But the title review was FYI, and it just says, "Hey guys, thanks so much for sharing all of your knowledge and expertise. It's been a true blessing for me." And person whose username I can't pronounce, thank you so much for that. That really made my night. I am editing this podcast super late at night, actually the night before it goes out. It's like 11:20 p.m. and it's about to go out in the morning. So reading that just really made my night. Thank you so much. And thank you to all the rest of you who rate and subscribe and share the podcast. It just really means the world to us. So now let's get into the podcast. Hey everybody, so let's jump into the podcast. I'm here with Matt Borsick, the other half of Worship Sound Guy, who co-founded it together. So we thought we'd do a little conversation kind of podcast for you this time instead of just doing Q&A. So without further ado, Matt, how's it going?
Hey man, it's going good. It's going really good. Crazy times that we're in for sure, but it's been fun in some ways and not fun in other ways.
Yeah, definitely. And we'll definitely be getting to that. But I guess for those who might not know you, tell us like a little bit about yourself.
Yeah. So, so I'm, based here in Atlanta, just down the street from Johnny, and, I've been here since about 2012, working with a church here. Only recently came kind of on staff. It's one of those fun kind of half contract, half staff-ish position, that nice gray area.
Those are the best.
A lot of us tech guys like to live in. but that's been great. Been doing audio for a hot minute, and working with different churches around the Atlanta area, and lately kind of more settled down into just a few, which has been nice. But obviously with all of this, I've had to kind of become audio/video/web/ you know, whatever.
Yeah. COVID has changed the game for all of us for sure.
Definitely. So
quick interview questions real quick here. So how did you like first get into audio? Like what made you want to run sound?
So it's funny. I actually grew up, out on the West Coast, in Sacramento, California. And, I was definitely the like homeschooled pastor's kid who in like fourth grade was like hanging out at the soundboard and not leaving anyone alone. You know, what's that button do? And I was that kid. So if any of you have that kid, be nice to him. So I always kind of had an interest, and what really made me kind of jump in and learning it was playing on like the student band way back in like junior high, you know, and having stuff never working and never having anyone around to fix it. And so I was like, you know what, this is the most annoying thing. I just need to learn how all of this works so that I can fix it. And then little did I know the rabbit hole that I would go down.
100%. That's super funny. Like, you know, we've talked about this before. That's actually super similar to how I got into audio. I was a guitar player first. And, I literally was like playing, in student band, and all the time, like stuff would go wrong. Things wouldn't work as expected. And then, I think one day, somebody just kind of asked me, it was like, "Hey, do you want to maybe run sound?" And I was like, I mean, I guess so. Like maybe I'll be able to do a good job with that. And
famous last words, how hard could it be?
Yeah. Now like here we are like 15 years later, both of us just doing this as our professions.
Right.
That's awesome. So yeah, what's like your experience been so far, like with COVID kind of changing everything? Like, what have your, like the churches you've been working with, what have they been doing to navigate that?
So it's kind of, again, just a small handful of churches that I work with here, but my home church is called Northlands Church. And it's in Norcross, Georgia, just outside of Atlanta. And, you know, when we first, when this first kind of hit, you know, like a lot of people, we were just trying to figure out, you know, when, I mean, back in the very beginning, it was, hey, you know, do we need to like cancel services and how long do we need to cancel them for? And obviously that seems like a no-brainer now, but.
Yeah, this will just be like a couple weeks, right? And then we're all back, I think.
Exactly. We're like, all right, well, just this week and then this will blow over. Not. Anyways, but yeah, so. You know, we started essentially trying to just keep our services in the same format without just without people in the room. You know, so mm-hmm. we kind of would use our standard live streaming setup. I think the biggest difficulty for us was we previously didn't stream our worship. We didn't have a solid broadcast mixed position or anything like that, and so our stream typically just started with the sermon. Mm-hmm. So having, but again, not having people in the room allowed us to use our equipment to mix for broadcast instead. So we did that for a few weeks and, you know, had the full band on stage and had everyone come like they normally would. And then we kind of hit the shelter in place phase where it was like, right. Hey, you know, even, you know, 10 people in a room, social distance was too much. And, so we moved to, for a while, just everyone capturing at home. So mm-hmm. I kind of worked up and sent out a little, you know, guide to filming on an iPhone.
Trying to nice.
Get, you know, everyone like, hey, just basic, you know, framing and audio. Like, hey, don't record in your like garage or in your like giant hardwood living room. Like, try to find somewhere with lots of soft furniture and carpet preferably. And you know, face a window, don't put it behind you, just stuff like that. And that actually worked out surprisingly well. It was a little scary going into it when we were like, hey, we just need people to be able to record from home. And I was like, oh Lord, that's like my nightmare from a post-production standpoint.
Yeah, for sure.
But everyone did pretty good with it. And, so we did services like that where you'd essentially send out, you know, worship team would, you know, I think when we first started, it was just, you know, we'd have one person lead a set from an acoustic or something and, hey, just grab it at home. And then we just, you know, stitch everything together after the fact. And we did that for, I want to say maybe 3 or 4 weeks. And mm-hmm. then, and then as things started to loosen up a little bit, we decided to go ahead and at least start capturing, like sermons and hosting and whatnot at the church. So we have a separate room set up with filming equipment and whatnot. So we kind of moved to a hybrid, between, okay, we don't have to deal with iPhone video anymore, but, but we, you know, still going to keep, you know, no more than 2 or 3 people there to capture. Right. And then, worship was still going from home. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah. We kind of started in a similar vein. We were really trying to just like, okay, let's keep everything, you know, as similar as possible and try to make it feel like it does in the room. And I think, yeah, for us, like that worked to an extent. We didn't have at the time like a really robust live streaming setup to begin with. We were just using like 1 or 2 cameras. Which obviously, you know, it's hard to make it feel like you're in the room and it's like exciting and, you know, dynamic when you've only got like 1 camera.
Yeah.
But what we did have, were some, Sony DSLRs, which are mm-hmm. awesome. We had 3 of those. So we decided to kind of pivot and shoot all of the services with that, and kind of do like a little more cinematic style, trying to get like a little more of that, like, you know, maybe you're in the front row of the audience on stage kind of thing.
Yeah.
So we came up with a process for worship initially where we were basically having the band go through each song twice. And so we would film and record twice, which kind of gave the illusion that we had like way more cameras than we actually did, because nice. We were able to kind of piece together, you know, hopefully, and bands obviously playing to like click and everything. So their performance is, you know, the same timing and everything. They're trying to play it as similarly each time as they can.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that made it, you know, where we actually, you know, had 3 or 4 cameras. We usually have like
two on tripods, maybe two on, we got some of the DJI Ronin gimbals to stabilize everything and be able to move around.
Nice.
So like two stationary cameras and two on gimbals. And so then by doing it twice though, we double our camera shots.
That's awesome.
You know, yeah, make it look like we had like, you know, six or eight cameras, which made it look really awesome. And I think it was a lot of work for our video editor and post, but it looked incredible. And it also gave me, with being able to record each performance twice, it let me like kind of pick and choose the best parts of each one. I'd try to rely like, you know, as much on one of the takes as I could. And then, you know, if, you know, guitarist like flubbed a note or whatever, I'd go back to the other performance and look and see if he like did it better. It made everything sound awesome and look awesome. The big thing for us, I think, was just like being able to do that sustainably. Like, I think, it first like really hit for us. We were filming, firstly, everything was like week of. So we were filming like, you know, worship on Tuesday, message on Wednesday, you know, maybe like some hosting or like last minute stuff on Thursday. And then like our video editor was like putting it together, like, you know, late into Saturday night or Sunday morning, like uploading it.
Some things never change, even in a global pandemic.
there's always that last minute stuff. And yeah, for us, it just became really tough. Especially like we did a Good Friday service into an Easter service. And So for that, like the Good Friday service, we actually moved down like onto the floor of our auditorium and did like a kind of like a service in the round, which looked incredible. But then it was like, okay, now we gotta like reset the entire stage, put everything back together, and like then do this Easter shoot on stage.
Oh God.
And then it was like, of course, obviously we're now, you know, editing and mixing and mastering two services like all in the same week. And it's like that was like a ton. So after that, we kind of moved to like more of a stripped down setup where we did like a band of maybe like three or four people, just like acoustic guitar, worship leader, keys. Our drummer played like an SPDSX pad, just to give like some percussive element to it. And that worked really good. It kind of allowed us to like breathe and like catch up for a minute. And it also helped with like kind of some of those restrictions where we weren't able to have as many people in the room. Just with the shelter in place. So then after that, kind of now we're back to doing stuff on stage again, kind of similarly to how we were doing before. And that's worked good. I think we've kind of like gotten to a rhythm. I think that was kind of the hardest part, just like figuring out, okay, how do we like do this? Like, what are the steps we can take? 'Cause like none of us had ever really done a production like that before. It's had its challenges for sure. What's been like the biggest challenge for you guys?
I would almost agree in that, like, I think it took us a bit to find a sustainable rhythm, because I think, you know, it's funny because you would think without having live events and without like your workload would kind of go down, you're like, hey, it's a little bit, somehow it's felt like this is twice as much work as what you're doing before. And it's like, I don't know, maybe it's because, you know, we're having to do different stuff than our typical jobs or you know, stuff we haven't done in a while, but I think for us, it was the same thing as trying to figure out, you know, after a while, I think for us trying to just, like for lack of a better way to put it, keep the like old Sunday morning experience alive just kind of felt vain in a way. You know, it was like, you know, I think we need to adapt obviously to what people are feeling and what people are experiencing at home. You know, a lot of people being locked at home. So anyways, I think it kind of changed the way that we thought and really just started changing the way we program and what we focus on and all that. So instead of trying to maintain a like, you know, Sunday morning big corporate worship look, you know, we're like, hey, let's do the home thing. Let's have people in there. I mean, that's where everyone's at. So let's not try to, you know, fake like this isn't going on, but let's, you know, let's meet people where they're at. And it was funny for a few weeks, So, you know, a lot of people are doing the whole, you know, musicians and singers in different places and synced up into one video, you know. Everyone was doing that for a while. And, you know, at first we were like, hey, obviously that's awesome for a lot of people to have the resources, and that was great. But, you know, for me at Northlands, we're about a, you know, 300-400 member church. So not a ton of resources. And so we were trying to figure out, hey, is this worth it? But then after a couple weeks of just, you know, one guy on an acoustic, we were like, you know, we do kind of miss the full band. And so it's actually kind of funny, but we ended up kind of, you know, you talk about working with what you got. We did the same thing where we kind of had, hey, you know, five or six, usually we'd have two worship leaders and a four piece backline that would record, their parts at home. You know, we'd send out tracks on Monday, and send, you know, click and everything, obviously. So everyone would, be in sync. But, the issue was none of our people had, like home recording equipment. So no one had interfaces. Yeah. So we were like, dude, how are we going to do this? And around the same time we were trying to figure this out is when, Multitracks, sent out the thing that said, hey, they're including a blanket license for a limited period of time to be able to include their stems in live streams. And we've always been really, really careful about that and, wanting to make sure we honor, you know, proper licensing and all that kind of stuff. And so we, but when that came out, it was like, shoot, is, you know, almost embarrassing as it is to admit, you know, we essentially took multi-track stems and had our musicians play the parts and, you know, we'd bounce out essentially, for guitarists, we'd bounce out, you know, with the electric bump so they could play the part that was in the stem. And so it was literally like lip syncing the band. It was like, you know, you're not actually hearing, the only thing that we would actually track were vocals.
Okay. Yeah.
And so it was essentially, you know, our worship leaders singing over multi-tracks. It was kind of funny because then, of course, our leadership is like, dang, this sounds amazing. What? You know? And it was like, well.
Sounds just like the record.
Here's
the
secret. Yeah. So, and the funny thing is, I think for me as a leader in that, I think initially it was a bit of a, I don't know the right word, but it really forced me to think through, okay, why are we doing this? And realizing that, you know, it may seem cheap or it may seem like, hey, you know, cheating that you're not actually hearing the band. Why would you bother trying to make it look like them? And one of the things that I think was helpful for me is realizing that ultimately our, you know, our end goal is to, you know, create an environment, whether we're in the building or creating an online environment for people at home that they can engage in worship.
And exactly.
It's way bigger than, you know, what our musicians are able to pull off or what we're able to, at the end of the day, does it help the viewers enter into worship? And, for us, it was like, man, the amount of, you know, the quality that we would have been able to pull off with what we had, I don't think would have been able, to accomplish the same thing. And so it was a little bit of a slice of humble pie that was like, you know, hey, it's not about how good can we be and how good, it's about how can we help people engage the best. And so,
how can we serve our congregation?
Exactly. That's at the end of the day, that's what we're doing. And, and then being visually led in worship, I think obviously still adds a massive piece. So even for people watching at home, the amount of emails and stuff we got that was like, man, it was so cool to see everyone, you know, you got our, you know, bassist chilling on the couch at home with a stack of towels on the armrest. It was like, it's just real and raw. And, you know, obviously most people don't know that they're not actually hearing what they're seeing, you know, that it's dubbed and, but anyways, it actually was a really fun few weeks and got a lot of obviously compliments, not just on the sound, you know, that was always kind of we don't really sound that good, but thanks anyways, you know, but even just sweet times of worship and our worship leaders leading in that. And I think it was a really different setup for everyone. And, actually just this past week is when we moved out of that and we went ahead and actually got just like keys and acoustic and a vocalist in the same room and move to kind of what you were talking about, the more like cinematic. Let's go ahead and just capture a live set again and move to that. Because after 4 or 5 weeks of the split screen thing, it was like, okay, you know, I think people are starting to get not bored of it, but, you know, just keeping things fresh can help a lot. So we've moved out of that now. So that was an interesting thing that I never thought I would do, but.
It's been interesting for all of us, I think. To echo what you said, like, I think, it's so important to remember, like, why we're trying to do this in the first place. And I think that's been a struggle for, I know a lot of people that, you know, have emailed us, like, at Worship Sound Guy, and be like, oh, like, my live stream sounds so horrible. And, you know, it's like, okay, like, we can definitely work on that, but also, you know, it's so important just to remember, like, is it being effective? Because, like, it can not necessarily sound like the best, but it can still be completely effective. And I would definitely rather have, you know, effective moments of worship rather than, like, the best sounding live stream that, like, doesn't connect with anybody.
Exactly. You know,
for sure. Because I think, for us, like the response to what we've been doing has been really, really positive. I think people understand that it's like a new season for churches and that everybody's trying to navigate that and figure out like, what the heck do we do right now? Like, how does this, you know, how do we still keep doing church? Moving over like a little more to the tech side, you want to talk about like maybe kind of the like the capture process that you guys are doing in the room and like what your what your post-production mixing has been like and maybe how it's been different from like how you'd mix normally on a Sunday. Like what does all that look like?
Definitely. Yeah. So our kind of timeline and kind of how we're doing things right now is starting Tuesday morning is our kind of weekly staff meeting at the moment over Zoom. And so that's when we're kind of, you know, hammering out any last minute details for that week's service. Wednesday is our capture day. Right now, because we're back to capturing live sets, we basically start about noon and we capture the sermon. And then we capture the hosting elements. For us, our service typically essentially, you know, has a host welcome and then worship. And then we always have a, like a testimony segment, something that our church is really big about is just sharing testimonies each week. And, you know, we just believe that, you know, if God does it for one person, he wants to do it for all of us. And so, so that's kind of a big portion of our service is, just hearing testimonies of what God's doing with different people in the body. And
That's so cool.
So usually that's the only iPhone video element we have right now. So we usually, we have someone that oversees that and they'll connect with people and, kind of give them the iPhone guide capturing video and just ask them to share their story at home and then they'll send it to us. And that's been working great. So we usually have that. And then, you know, the message and a closing. So those are kind of the big elements for us. So we found it, easiest to kind of capture the message first, because then if the host wants to reference anything in it, you know, he's been able to hear it already. And so we do that and we capture all the hosting. And then Wednesday nights we've been capturing our band, which has just been acoustic right now, just keys, acoustic guitar, and a couple vocals.
Yeah.
And so we actually set up, you know, kind of the like super warm tone vibey kind of set with like, you know, like outdoor patio lights and whatnot. And we just kind of try to make it super vibey. And then we have a similar setup to what you were talking about. We have a couple of like Ronin gimbals. So we have a Ronin S that we use and just have like a Canon 5D on it.
Yeah.
We shoot that. And then we actually, the nice thing, you know, it would have been nice to get a little earlier. In the middle of this, we got approved to go ahead and upgrade a lot of our video equipment since we're basically 100% online at this point. It's like everything we're doing is video. So we actually, tomorrow is going to be Christmas Day for us. We've got everything fun coming in from B&H.
What you getting?
So the biggest thing was we had a Blackmagic Ursa 4K camera and it was working. I mean, obviously it's a great camera. But all of our live streaming setup in the auditorium is all Blackmagic, and we were using this in a studio environment. And so we're like, you know what, let's bump that guy over to an onstage camera that fits with the rest of our system. And then just kind of revamp our studio system. Cause obviously we didn't have a multicam set. So typically, you know, I'd be bringing in my personal camera stuff, or you know, any one of the contractors that we'd use would end up just bringing in their stuff. And so the church was like, hey, you know, let's go ahead and do whatever we need to do to get our own stuff so that we're not having to rely on people bringing personal gear. So we went ahead and got a C200. That will be a very welcome upgrade. And then we got a 5D Mark IV as a second camera. And then just some upgraded audio, you know, some new shotgun mics, and we got, you know, obviously plenty of accessories for the cameras and whatnot, and a Rhino slider and that kind of stuff. So just stuff to help make it, you know, a little less where we're not having to bring in people's personal stuff, and then just a really solid setup on our own. So so with all that, so that's all gets here tomorrow, which would be really exciting.
Yeah, fun.
But prior to all that, again, we're just using, you know, I have a 5D that I use, so we'd throw that on a Ronin, and then have the Blackmagic Ursa, and then one of our other video people, she's got two like Sony DSLRs like you guys were talking about. And so the hardest thing was obviously having Canon Color Science, Blackmagic Color Science, and Sony. That was, I'm sure, a lot of fun for her for color grading in the end. But yeah, so we kind of capture everything on Wednesday. Wednesday night is kind of our final like content deadline for everyone. So we also have separate videos that go out for our student ministry. So we basically like a preschool and then a middle school. So we have on the student side, they're capturing iPhone videos at home and separate worship and all that. And the nice thing is we've got people that are kind of taking charge on that and then just get content to us by Wednesday night. So it's essentially like creating like three services every week. Obviously the student ones are much simpler. But it's been a lot, but we've kind of found like, hey, as long as we can have all the content in by Wednesday night and we do that, and then we try to have a version one out Friday morning. So we kind of take, Thursday as the main edit day to get, we've got all the pieces, so it's just putting them together. And then Friday we try to get a first version out, and get that approved. And then we have Friday to kind of shoot back and forth any edits. And then Saturday, you know, is our upload day. So we try to upload Saturday by like noon, get it. And then we upload to YouTube, which feeds our website. And we've been using the Premiere feature, for all of this. So that's been working fantastic for us.
Yeah. Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah. And then same thing on Facebook. So we'll upload to YouTube and Facebook. Using the Premiere feature, and then usually by Saturday evening we're done.
ready to roll.
And it took us a while to get there, but we definitely, kind of how you were saying, you know, we had a few of those weeks where it was like, you know, 12:30 a.m. Saturday night,
waiting
for downloads and uploads and YouTube processing, and we were just like, we need to make it a priority not to be having our people do this. So we kind of moved our deadlines around and said we need to make sure our videos are up Saturday afternoon. So
people
got time with their families and
right. Yeah, it's been stressful for sure. Those late nights are never any fun. So I guess let's switch up and talk audio for live stream for a minute. I think that's what the people are here for.
True. True. So, I've been nerding about video too much.
me too. I've kind of discovered this like little passion for video, like having now worked in it for like a few weeks. I'm like, this is actually really fun. It's
like, hey, wait a second.
Yeah, it feels like really complicated compared to audio, but I guess, I mean, you know, when we've been doing audio for 15 years, it doesn't seem complicated
exactly.
anymore.
Exactly.
And video is like this whole new world. But yeah, I'll kind of talk, I guess, through my like post-production workflow and kind of some things like maybe you've been working good or haven't been working good. I guess like for me each week when like I'm always the one who's like overseeing recording as well. So that's been nice, kind of just like, you know, making sure to engineer things really well has been a big component for like how good or not good our live stream has sounded. So I think like, I mentioned this on another podcast too, but I think that the quality of your engineering and skill of your engineering really like shows through on a live stream in a way that it almost doesn't in like a big PA situation.
Yeah.
Cause you know, you're just here like, oh yeah, it's loud, it's awesome. And then, you know, you don't notice if it doesn't quite sound, you know, as good as it could, or if, you know, the mic is in a slightly non-optimal position or whatever. But on live stream, you know, it's more like a studio recording in certain ways. And I think one of those ways is that the engineering side of things counts a lot more. So you're just, taking the time for me to go through, like place every mic, making sure, you know, every like source tone is really like as close to what I want as I can possibly get it has been big.
Yeah, man.
For me, I guess I'm doing all my post-production mixing in Pro Tools. I don't know if are you using Pro Tools?
I am, yeah. That's what I do most of the mixing in.
It's been great. I've been a Pro Tools user for a long time, so that workflow is really familiar. But I think, the biggest thing for me was like trying to dial in like essentially a template that would work from week to week that like kept the sound consistent, where I wasn't like, you know, re-EQing or like making drastic changes from week to week. I was trying to like, you know, get it right the first time and then being able to kind of replicate that workflow for future weeks. It's like that
build
was
on it. You build on it every week, make it a little better each week.
Yeah, exactly. And that was challenging. I feel like I'm like finally at a spot now where I'm like, I'm really happy with what we're getting. But at first, just like trying to balance like the feel of, you know, being able to mix in post, like having all these tools at my disposal, mm-hmm. That can make it sound like, you know, really like studio-y kind of recording, versus like trying to keep it still feeling like a live recording and like you're there in the room, was kind of tough. So for me, I was like, I referenced just a ton of live mixes, from like, you know, albums and stuff that I like, to try to kind of match some of those source tones and like kind of the balance of everything. Cause yeah, it's really tempting just to go in and be like, oh yeah, everything's going to sound like super upfront in your face. But like when you listen to it, it's like, you can tell that it's not, it doesn't sound like it's live anymore.
Yeah, it sounds like a studio recording. You're seeing.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And then I think for me, like kind of some of the big stuff that has been interesting, especially is like worrying about like output level and just like, mm-hmm. you know, YouTube likes a particular, you know, loudness measurement standard that they kind of go by, and you know, that's optimized, you know, for YouTube versus Facebook versus, you know, whatever else, Vimeo, whatever else you're hosting on. So that's been kind of interesting to sort of see, like, you know, okay, where do I actually need to be on loudness? Whereas in a live room, you're just like, yeah, all right, it feels good. That like, that's where I want to be.
Yeah.
But this is like, okay, what are the, you know, the specifications that YouTube wants? Yeah. Like, how do I mix into those and like, you know, still make it sound good?
Yeah. Like even like a side note on that I've been just kind of a realization I had is like, you know, when we were back in the days of mixing on PAs in our own rooms, like, that's the only thing that people hear in that environment. Whereas now we're mixing, you know, people are watching on their phones or laptops or TVs where they consume all of their other media. So all of a sudden now you're being put up to the same measurement as like Bethel on Spotify and like all the other media that they consume. And so it's like, in a way, like the standards are even higher than where they were in the room, because, you know, if also if you have an unmastered mix or you have like, it's going to stick out like a sore thumb. Whereas in the church building, it's like a completely different environment. You know, most people aren't going to, you know, they don't really have anything else to compare it to.
Yeah, dude, 100%. Yeah, that's been something we've tried to think about a lot. And like, it's really tough to like find that balance, you know, just between like what they're used to in the room versus like what is possible to achieve over a live stream.
So, but I
think, one thing for me definitely too has like been just getting input and critique from like members of our worship team, you know, worship pastors and stuff, our creative director, all that kind of stuff. They're just, you know, trying to be like, hey, do you think this like will help people enter into a moment of worship? Or, you know, does it sound too, you know, overproduced or, you know, fake or whatever? Like, does it sound real? Does it sound authentic? Like, that's kind of like the metric that we've been trying to go by. And that's
good.
It's been tough, but I think it's also been really effective. It's definitely challenged me as a mixer. Especially cause like in the room, you can like look around and you sort of like see if people are worshiping and like, okay, like do people have their hands up? Are people singing? Like, and then you can kind of gauge that and be like, yeah, this is an effective worship mix. Whereas online, you're just, man, you're hoping, like, you're kind of, you know, I guess you like, you know, watch the chat or whatever, but for the most part, you're like, you have to like really put in the work on the front end to make it something really special. Cause you can't like adapt it in real time, depending on what's going on.
Seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's like, it's, you know, it's kind of funny. Cause I think it also, you know, one of the funniest memes I've seen during this time was, you know, the whole, I can't remember the picture that it was on, but it was, you know, the worship leader on the live stream, you know, hey, everyone lift a shout of praise or whatever. And then the picture was a dude just sitting on the couch, sipping his coffee. And it's like it's such a weird dynamic that's at play now, because even for me, like, you know, worshiping at home, watching, you know, my wife and I will get up and watch our live stream in the morning. And it's definitely feels like you engage in a different way than you do in a corporate setting. It's a lot more of a personal, you know, just like if you would, you know, sit and just listen to worship music or something on your own at home. And I think for us, it was a little bit of like, okay, maybe our goal isn't, you know, to necessarily try to get people to stand up and clap their hands in their living room. It's more of how can we, you know, how do we minister to them on a personal level instead of necessarily trying to recreate the corporate feel, you know, while everyone's, you know, by themselves or with their families at home. So leaning into the family element, which is just a huge like change, because we've been doing it the same way for so long, you know, that it's easy just to get stuck in habits. And it's like, man, it really, I mean, like you said, just forced us to kind of rethink like, hey, how is this an engaging moment for people where they're
at? Yeah, exactly. And I think, okay, so that actually segues perfectly into the last thing I want to talk about, which is, so now we're kind of like talking like, okay, when do we come back? Like, when is it safe to, you know, get 600 people in a building? Or and you work at some much larger churches too. So it's like, you know, when is it safe to have thousands of people back in the building?
Yeah.
But like, as we move into reopening, what's been going on these past, you know, 10, 11 weeks, how do you think that's going to change what we're doing when we gather back together?
Yeah, that's a tough question. I mean, honestly, like I don't think anyone knows, you know, I think if anything, what it's done for me is, you know, felt like, you know, even talking with, you know, some people at, on the team at Northlands, and like one of the things that we felt, the funny thing is, even coming into 2020 before COVID or anything happened, we felt that it was going to kind of be a year of like reboot and refocusing, and which is ironic now looking back. It was like, oh dang, that's I think that's exactly what this was like. Literal shut it down and then start it back up. But
yeah,
but I think if anything, it's I feel like I've become, you know, a lot more intentional about a lot of the creative decisions that we've made, and it's taught me how to be more intentional about it. So I think even, you know, with everyone obviously looking forward to being around people again, and, you know, the idea of being in a room, you know, in a shared experience with hundreds or thousands of people, I think excites a lot of people and very much looking forward to it. And so I think there are aspects of it that will go back to, you know, quote, normal. But I feel like our perspective in it is going to be forever different, that it's not just business as usual. And it's not, you know, I think obviously coming back, I know one of the things that we're planning is when we do get back, we're probably going to do a big night of worship and baptisms and just stuff that you can't really do at home on your own, just to lean into that and be like, man, let's have a party, you know, let's just celebrate being back together. And so I know, you know, that'll be a lot of fun. But I think just in our decision-making process and creative process, I think it's really just kind of changed the way that we're going to make decisions moving forward, even once we're back in the building and things kind of start to return to a little bit of, you know, a new normal. I think that's the biggest thing it's done for us. What about you guys?
Yeah, I would agree 100% on that. I think, this is like, it's forced us to be really thoughtful about our creative decisions and to really like evaluate things. Cause like I mentioned at first, we were essentially just trying to do exactly what we had been doing, but do it online. You know, now we've kind of like dialed in on some of those things where it's like, okay, were we just doing that because like, that's what we always did. And, you know, maybe we've discovered things that don't work as well online. You know, and then we're kind of taking that back and be like, okay, so did it actually work in the room, or was it, you know, just because we did the thing that we've always done and, you know, maybe we don't go back to that. Like we're, our church actually like pivoted our entire series for this time. And, so we did this series called The Church Has Left the Building.
Nice.
which has been super fun. But yeah, the big kind of question out of that is like, you know, we've left the building. Do we come back the same? And like, I hope that the answer is no. I hope that we have taken this time like to refocus on, you know, what's really important. And then that when we get back, it's not like, oh, okay, we can just like get back into our old routines and rhythms and everything's back to normal. It's easy. It's comfortable. Like I hope that it challenges us and pushes us in some ways that maybe we haven't had the opportunity to be challenged before, or even like, you know, maybe we haven't had the desire to be challenged this way before. I think, you know, none of us saw this coming or like would, you know, have wished for this to happen. But, you know, I think there's some good things we can take out of it that are like necessary changes. So, I think that'll probably be the biggest thing for us. Well, Matt, this has been super fun getting to have this chat. I know this has been like a really weird and crazy time, but I think there's some really awesome lessons to be learned from it. And I think we've gotten to talk about some of that today, which has been really fun. So we'll definitely do this again super soon. Coming up on the podcast, we've also got some other really cool guests who'll be on the next few weeks. So make sure you tune back in for that. We'll see you then. Well, that's a wrap for this week's episode of the Ask Worship Sound Guy podcast. Don't forget, if you're not a part of our Worship Sound Guy students Facebook group, you can search that and join it on Facebook and ask your own questions we'll answer here on the show. Don't forget to rate and share and subscribe and review on iTunes and whatever other podcast platforms you listen on. And until we get to talk again next week, don't forget to crank that bass.